following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
So it is really my privilege and my pleasure to introduce and give a great big Wisconsin cheesehead welcome to Brian Sparks as he comes to preach to us this morning. Right.
How is everybody doing this morning? You doing all right? All right, you know, it's amazing. I've been in Wisconsin since Thursday, and I've discovered that I'm the only person in this entire state that doesn't have an accent. Now we're laughing like I have an accent. But no, it's great to be here, and as Pastor Andrew mentioned, my lovely family is here as well. My son is proudly representing the Texas Rangers. Come on. I was like, son, you're going to get some flack over that. He's like, that's okay. I've got to represent my Rangers. And so, but it's great to be here. And then Pastor Andrew's already tried to get me to wear a cheese hat. And I told him, I was like, no, it's not going to happen because we all know what God's team is, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. Amen. And it is officially late. America's team, and so we're so glad to be here. And actually, I will say this, that we love college football more than we love NFL, and I'm a diehard Aggie fan, so I love good fans, and I appreciate the Packers, because y'all are diehard fans, and I really appreciate that. They're actually my second favorite team, so if that counts for anything, come on, give me a little bit of credit. It should count for something that they're my second favorite team, just because of how great of fans that y'all are. And so it's so great, man. Welcoming. I've cut out. Y'all are such a welcoming state, and we've just really felt at home here. And we got in, and we were here Thursday, and we got in early Thursday, and so we drove to Chicago. I had to have some deep dish pizza. Come on, somebody. And then I know it's a very touristy thing to do. My friend asked me if I've had cheese curds yet, and I said, no, I haven't done that, and so I'm not sure that I want to do that. Any cheese curds fans here? Yeah. Okay. Maybe I need to do that. I don't know. I think it's awesome, and we're so honored to be here. And are honored to serve as overseers of this amazing church. And we are very similar. We set up and we tear down just like you do. We are in a town of about 9,000 people. And so it's been, it's a journey. Planning a church is not easy. And I'll say this, that Pastor Andrew and Shyla have endured a lot more than most. And I think that it says a lot about your pastors, because they've endured and they've kept showing up and they kept being faithful, even when a lot of people would have said, you know what, I quit, I give up. And they've just kept on going. And now they're starting to see the fruit of that, and people are showing up. And so just give it up for your pastors, Pastor Andrew. And they're awesome. They really are. They're amazing people. This was the first time that we actually met, and we've probably talked 50 to 70 hours on the phone, but this is the first time we've actually ever met. So it's just great to meet them. But there was times on the phone that I would talk to him, and I'd be like, man, you're like, he was just going through some really hard things in the very beginning, and I'm just honored to know him as a man and as a pastor.
You got a Bible, turn to Mark 6. Mark 6. We're going to read verse 45 through 51. Mark 6, 45 through 51. I think I got a word for you today. I hope I do. Mark 6, 45 through 51. You got it? Say amen. If you don't, say hold up. All right, I'm holding. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. We'll have it for you behind on the screen, I think. But it says this, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he had departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle. Come on, somebody say in the middle. Come on, say in the middle. In the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them, his disciples, straining and rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, but immediately he talked with them and said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they marveled. Amen? If you're taking notes today, which I hope you are, you can title this message, Somewhere in the Middle. Somewhere in the middle. Lord, right now we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, we thank you that every ear in here is open and receptive to hear your word. Lord, they didn't come to hear a word from man. They've come to hear a word from you. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of your people. Let every life be changed. Let no one leave the same in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Do y'all talk in this church? Are y'all ameners? I have a feeling that y'all aren't. But y'all do me a favor and just, we have a saying at our church, a quiet church is a dead church. And we're not a dead church. Y'all aren't a dead church. Come on, I've been here. Y'all ain't dead. And so you can say amen. You can say that's good. You better preach, white boy. You better preach, you bald, beautiful thing. I don't care what you say, okay? You can say about anything. Just don't cuss at me because it hurts my feelings a little bit. But you can say about anything you want, but we believe, here's the thing is, I always tell people that in a conversation, and people go, well, that's weird, why would you do that? Well, in a conversation, have you ever had somebody just stare at you while you're talking, not say anything, not nod, not say anything back to you, and you're just like, are you understanding what I'm saying? Like, are we on the same page here, or do you understand English? Like, are we communicating here, right? And the same thing goes for church. You know, you gotta, you don't want a big crowd just sitting there just staring at you. And so you can say, amen, that's good. Come on, you better preach. It's all good for me. And so just give me a little bit of response. Make me feel like I'm at home. Amen? Amen. So somewhere in the middle, tap three people around you and say somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle. You know, we recently moved to the country. And we were living in a subdivision, and subdivision isn't good for me. I like a little bit of space. I like a little bit of room. And so we moved out in the country. We bought nearly 8 acres of land, and I love it. I get on my tractor, come on, and I mow, and I'm happy as I can be. I just enjoy it, and I like being out with a little bit of space. But, you know, one thing about living in the country is you always have a commute. There's a drive to get to where you're going. And I'm kind of a creature of habit. I always kind of just fall into a routine. I find one way to get home, and I just kind of drive that consistently. But one day, my wife was in the car with me, and we were driving along, and she said, "Hey, if you'll turn on this road right here, it's 5 minutes faster." Now, there's one thing that I like doing, and that's making good time. I like getting to wherever I'm going faster, and so I automatically took the road. Now, I'm cruising down this road, and this road is awesome. It's better than the road I drove before. It's really smooth. Everything is going, like, I mean, it had a suggested speed of 35 miles an hour, but 50 felt so good, I went 60. Come on, somebody. Like, I'm cruising down this road, and it is awesome. It is amazing. But somewhere in the middle, the road changed, and it went from really smooth to extremely rough. I'm talking about potholes you could lose a car in. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I mean, and what was amazing is my wife never mentioned that the road got rough in the middle. She never mentioned to me, hey, it's really smooth sailing in the beginning, and it gets a little bit rough in the middle. See, she never said anything about it, and I began to think about it, and I think that a lot of things in life are like that road. A lot of things in life are exactly like that. They're really smooth in the beginning, but somewhere in the middle, it gets a little bit rough. It gets a little bit hard. Come on, we don't have a hard time starting things. Come on, I don't know about you, but I start a new diet every Monday. Come on. Right? I have no problem, but it's somewhere in the middle of the week where I start having a problem, right? And that's why as pastors, we get you to say your vows at the beginning of your marriage. Because we know at the beginning of your marriage it's smooth. I mean, he does no wrong. Come on. He's perfect. Y'all never argue. He doesn't smell bad. He is wonderful. He is amazing. He is your Prince Charming. But somewhere in the middle, he starts looking like Shrek. You're thinking, where in the world did these smells come from? Like, what happened to you? Somewhere in the middle, you know, in the beginning of your marriage, come on, guys, she's sweet as pie. She's awesome, but she turned sour somewhere in the middle. Huh? In the beginning, everything is smooth in the beginning because beginnings have excitement. I mean, we're starting a new chapter. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. It's incredible. Come on. We're launching a brand new church. It's going to be amazing. But then we hit the middle. You know, we don't have an ending problem either. Because endings have this thing of you can see the end. The end is in sight. The finish line is in sight. You have this feeling of accomplishment like I've done it. I've actually achieved it. I've made this thing. I'm going to cross the finish line. I can see the end in sight. And so we don't have a problem with endings. But what we have is a middle problem. Because here's the thing is in the middle, we have this middle problem because we can't see where we started. And we can't see where we're finishing. We're lost somewhere in the middle. We're lost in the middle, and all we can see a lot of times in the middle is heartache, pain, waves, wind, and we have this thought that keeps going through our mind, and it just keeps going over and over and over again in our mind, is, are we going to make it? Are we actually going to be able to cross the finish line? See, here's the thing, is the devil won't mess with you in the beginning because he knows it's too soon, you can turn back. He won't mess with you at the end because he knows that you've come too far to quit now because you can see the end in sight. But there's something that happens in the middle of our journey where the enemy begins to attack us and begins to come against us and begins to say, you're not going to make it. You're not going to get through. You're never going to finish. And all of a sudden, all we can see around us is wind and waves and heartache and pain. And we start thinking, maybe I'm not going to make it. Maybe I should quit. Because all around you in the middle is shipwreck after shipwreck after shipwreck. And I've come to talk to some people that are in the middle. You're somewhere in the middle. You're not where you started, but you certainly can't see the end in sight. And you're somewhere in the middle, and you have this thought of, am I going to make it? Am I going to finish? Am I going to be able to survive? Whatever it is you're going through. Some of you are in the middle of your marriage. Some of you are in the middle of your finances. Some of you may feel like you're in the middle of raising kids, them little heathens. Huh? Somewhere in the middle of your career. You're somewhere in the middle and you sit back and you're going, man, I don't know. Am I going to make it? And here's the thing is that you've gotten really good at faking it. You're in the middle, and a storm is raging around you, and you've gotten really good at faking it. Nobody around you knows that you're struggling. Nobody around you knows that you have heartache. Nobody around you knows that you're going through some painful situations. Nobody knows that your marriage is struggling. Nobody knows that your kids are acting horrible. Nobody knows that your finances are in the tank. Nobody knows any of that stuff because you've gotten really good at smiling at the right times. When people ask you, how are you doing? You say, oh, I'm good, don't you know? Whatever y'all say here, I don't know. That Minnesota, I think that's Minnesota. It's close enough. But you've gotten really good at faking it. You've gotten really good at saying, yeah, I'm good. Everything's good. You put on the smile. You laugh at the right times. You say all the right things. Come on, you come into church and everything. You've got your clothes on. Everything is good. Everything is perfect. You put a smile on your face and you walk in and nobody knows you're struggling in the middle. But at night, when the lights are out, no one's around to put a fake front on for, you begin to weep because you're struggling in the middle. You think, am I going to make it? Is our marriage going to make it? Are my finances going to make it? Am I going to lose my job? Is my career going to make it? And you're struggling in the middle. And I want to tell you something, that I don't know where you're at. And I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what's happening in your life, but I want to tell you about a God who sees you struggling in the middle. I want to tell you about a God who sees your struggle. And he doesn't, it's not like he doesn't care about your struggle, but he sees that you're struggling in the middle. And I wish I could tell you that I could show up and I could preach a message and all your problems would disappear. I wish I could say that, but I'm here to tell you that that's not going to happen. But what I've come to do today is to encourage you in the middle. To encourage you in the middle. Can I give you four things? I'm going to preach fast. Amen. Four things that will help you if you're struggling in the middle. Number one, if you're struggling in the middle, you need to remind yourself why you started in the first place. Why you started in the first place. You know, I'm not much of a runner, if you can't tell. I'm not a big fan. I don't know what it is about running. I've tried to run a few times, but it seems like every time I run, I injure something else. Like, my ankles hurt, my knees hurt, my back hurts. You know what I mean? Like, I sweat. It's weird. I don't know what's going on. Something's happening, and I feel like I'm allergic to working out because I sweat, and I end up sore the next day, so I've just stopped doing it altogether. And but if you have those same symptoms, you probably should stop too. But here's the thing. Go back to eating cheese curds, y'all. Come on, somebody. I've never been a big runner, but my wife loves to run. Like, she loves to run. She runs three times a week. That's just what she does. She goes out, and she's like, and what's amazing is that I'll be sitting out on the back porch drinking a little bit of coffee, and she'll come in from a run, and she's like, oh my gosh, it was amazing run. And I'm like, there's nothing amazing about running. The only thing amazing about running is stopping running, you know? That's the amazing thing. And then she's like, oh my gosh, the sun was beautiful as it came up over the horizon, and the trees were green, and the birds were chirping. And me and my friend were running together, and we had this amazing conversation. And I'm like, you had a conversation while you're running? Like, what are you talking about? Like, for me, the only conversation I'm having is, get me out of here. Like, what? The only conversation I'm going to have is with somebody that's driving by and like, can you take me back home? You know, that's the, but she's like, oh my gosh, it was amazing. It was incredible. And I think that's awesome that she likes to do that. But you know, one time I decided, you know what? I'm going to run. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to run a half marathon. I didn't really realize how far a half marathon is. It's a long way. But one thing is that when I commit to a goal, I'm going to do it. And so I started training, and I started working up to running this, you know, I was excited it was going to happen. And my wife signed up because she's run like 8 million and a half marathons. It's not a big deal to her. And so we just decided, hey, we're going to run this. And on Thanksgiving of all times, I signed up for a half marathon. I should be eating pumpkin pie. Come on, somebody. And I've signed up to run this half marathon. But I sign up, I run the half, and I mean, it was awesome. In the beginning, it was incredible. We had this massive group of people. Come on, we're taking off and we're running, and it's going so smooth, and everything is we're cruising along, but somewhere in the middle, all of a sudden, I hit what I've heard people talk about it, but I actually hit what they call the wall. And everything in me was screaming, stop running, dummy. That's what was going on in my mind over and over and over again. I mean, my back hurt. My shoulders hurt, my hips hurt, like everything was aching on me. And so my wife is running beside me, and I start talking. And I act like I'm trying to encourage her, but she's not struggling at all, right? She's running. She's used to this. But I start saying, you know what? Come on, we're going to make it. come on, we're going to get through this. And we're running along, and she's like, yeah, we're going to get through this. Like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, no, we're gonna cross that finish line. We're going to get that medal. And I began to just to talk. And what I was doing was I was reminding myself of why I started in the first place. I was reminding myself of why I began this race, because somewhere in the middle when it gets hard, somewhere in the middle when it gets difficult, you got to start reminding yourself of why you started in the first place. If you ever want to cross the finish line, if you ever want to get through it, you got to remind yourself, this is why I said I do. This is why I had those kids. This is why I started eating healthy. This is why I said yes to joining a dream team. This is why I, come on, and you begin to remind yourself of why you started to begin with. Because in the middle, it's hard. In the middle, it's difficult. In the middle, everything will tell you that you need to stop doing whatever it is that you're doing. So in the middle, you must remind yourself of why you started to begin with. You got to understand that reminding yourself of why you started will keep you going long after your want to stops. Reminding yourself of why you started, come on, will make you get up long after you stop wanting to do it. Reminding yourself of why you said I do will keep you going long after, come on, you stop wanting to be married to that hideous man. Come on. Reminding yourself of why. You just keep reminding yourself, this is why I did it. This is why I fell in love. See, here's the thing, is that you got to remind yourself of why you started to begin with. Number two, getting something out of this. Come on, you getting something out of this. All right. Number two, don't go through the middle alone. Don't go through the middle alone. I have a dog named Rosie, and Rosie is a Chihuahua. That is a fancy word for Chihuahua and a weenie dog. And she is about 4 pounds, and she's little bitty, but she's cute. She's really cute. And Rosie is my dog. For whatever reason, she loves me. She follows me everywhere I go. She just loves to be around me. And she has a lot of weird traits about her. And I don't know why she does a lot of the things that she does. But I had a friend of mine go over and check on her one day. Actually, my best friend went over to check on her. I said, hey, I'm out of town. Could you go over? Could you just check on her, make sure she's okay, let her out? And he was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Well, I get a phone call from him. He goes, hey, man, I'm over here with your dog. And there's something wrong with your dog. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, well, I went to get her, and she runs on three legs. She runs with her back leg up. And he's like, she's running around with her with one leg up. And then every time I bend down to pick her up, she pees everywhere. And I was like, no, that's completely normal. That's Rosie. That's what she does. That's who she is. That's what she does. She's a little bit territorial. She doesn't really like to be messed with. That's just kind of her personality. But one thing that amazes me about Rosie is that she will sense when a storm is coming. And when a storm begins to come, and even before anybody else knows that it's coming, she'll begin to shake. And it doesn't matter what's going on in her life, and it doesn't matter where she's at. She will find somebody to go through that storm with. If I'm not around, she's going to find somebody to sit with. She's going to find somebody that will hold her. She's going to find somebody that will just be with her. And here's the thing, is that I think that that's so important as a church, that we begin to understand that you're not supposed to go through the middle alone. Here the disciples are in the middle, and it says this, that they're all struggling together. They're all in the middle together. It doesn't say that they were by themselves, struggling on their own and doing their own thing. No, here they are in the middle, and each one has his own struggle, and each one is doing his own thing. But together, they're struggling in the middle, and that's what church is. It's not a bunch of people coming together that have it all together, that have their lives perfect, that everything is good, that nothing is wrong with them, getting together and talking about that. No, it's people that are struggling in the middle and saying, you know what? I'm having difficulty in my marriage. I'm having difficulty in my finances. I'm having difficulty in my career. I'm having difficulty, and I'm struggling in the middle. See, the biggest lie that you could ever believe is that you got to struggle on your own. The biggest lie that you can believe is that nobody else in this place has that same addiction. The truth is somebody in this place has had the same addiction and has come through on the other side. And the enemy doesn't want you to know that person, because if you ever know them, you will be set free. And he who the Son sets free, come on, is free indeed. Struggling in the middle. But you're not supposed to go through the middle alone. You're not supposed to go through the middle by yourself. I love this. James 5:16 says this: admit your faults to one another and pray for one another so that you can be healed. See, the thing is that we as Christians, our goal is not just to get to heaven. Our goal is to live heaven here on earth. And I'm telling you that we serve a God who doesn't want you. He's not into just behavior modification. He's into healing. He's into setting free. He's into delivering. And what that comes with is when you get in the middle with somebody. That's why here at Lifeway, they believe in life groups. That's why here at Lifeway, there's a dream team. Because we want you to know that you're in the middle and you may be struggling, but you don't have to struggle alone. You can come in and say, you know what, I'm not okay. Because at the Lifeway, it's okay not to be okay. But here's what's amazing about God, is he loves you too much to leave you that way. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be set free. And he wants you to be delivered. You need to know this, that isolation will kill you. But vulnerability will heal you. It's people in the middle saying, man, I'm not okay. Man, I'm really struggling. Man, I really have some difficulties. And what happens is you begin to open up to somebody and they begin to say, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. It's okay. And they begin to link arms with you. And here's the thing is that you'll make it to the other side if you ever just link arms with somebody. Get plugged in. Stay plugged in, and God will see you through. Amen. Number three, you need to remember, if you're in the middle, wherever you are, you need to remember that God does his best work in the middle. God does his best work in the middle. You know, here it is, the disciples are in the middle of the lake, and it says this, that they're struggling. They're struggling in the middle. They're having difficulty in the middle. And it says this, that Jesus comes walking to them on water. Now, what's amazing about this is that there are a lot of people that have seen Jesus walking. There, in fact, it just says in this passage that he's dismissing a whole multitude. He's getting rid of the multitude. He goes up the mountain. There's a lot of people that have been touched by Jesus. There's a lot of people that have had Jesus talk to them. There's a lot of people that have had conversations. But what's amazing about this is there's only a handful of people that are struggling in the middle that saw the God that walks on water. There's only a handful of people that were struggling in the middle that had God speak to them in the middle of their struggle. And here's what's amazing is that you need to understand that God does his best work in the middle. If you ever want to see a miracle working God, sometimes you got to be in the middle of a struggle. And God shows up to you in the middle of your struggle and begins to work on your behalf. See, here's the thing is that God showed up in the middle of a war and helped David kill Goliath. God showed up in the middle of an exodus and he parted a Red Sea. God showed up in the middle, come on, it was in the middle of a crowd where Jesus healed a woman with an issue of blood. It was in the middle of a funeral that Jesus raised the dead. It's in the middle. God does his best work. It's in the middle. It's in the middle when God shows up and begins to move on your behalf. And I know you're sitting around and you're going, I don't know how I'm going to make it out. I can tell you about a God who shows up in the middle. Time and time again, when I didn't see that there was a way out, I saw a God walking to me on the water. And I thought, God, there's no way that I can get through. And what's amazing is it says this, that as soon as he got in the boat with him, the wind ceased. the waves stopped. I want to tell you about a God who works miracles in the middle. And you may be struggling in this place. You may be having difficulty in your marriage. Can I tell you that there is a God who can heal your marriage? There is a God who can make supernatural provision in your finances. There's a God, you don't see that there's a way out. You don't see how it's possible. But can I tell you that there's a God who can show up in the middle of whatever you're struggling with. And in a moment, can set you free. Number four, and I'm done. The piano player's up here telling me you need to get off the stage. Number four, whatever you do, don't quit in the middle. Whatever you do, don't quit in the middle. You know, John Wesley was an amazing man, and for those of you that don't know church history, he led an amazing reformation. Thousands of people came to Jesus. And here's what a lot of people think is that men and women of God don't struggle in the middle. But the truth is that sometimes we struggle more than you. Sometimes, that's why it's so important for you, if you go to the Lifeway Church, it's so important for you to pray for your pastors. Because they're on the front lines. They're getting every attack that comes their way. They're getting everything that comes their way. And sometimes in the middle, that's the thing, is the enemy wants you to quit in the middle. But John Wesley was an amazing man of God. He led thousands and thousands and thousands of people to Jesus. But even in the middle, he struggled. I love this, and this is, it's very long, but I'm not going to read all of it. But John Wesley, out of his own diary, he wrote this. He said, Sunday, May 5th, a.m., preached in St. Anne's, was asked not to come back. Sunday, May 5th, p.m., preached at St. John's. Deacon said, get out, stay out. Boy, what a greeting. Sunday, May 12th, a.m., preached in St. Jude's. Can't go back there either. Sunday, May 19th, a.m., preached in the street. Come on, I've been kicked out of churches. I'll just try to preach in the street. I was kicked out of the street too. He knew that he had a call of God on his life, and so he kept preaching. Sunday, May 26, a.m., I preached in the middle of a meadow. I was chased out of the meadow as a bull was turned loose during service. Come on. Hardship. Difficulty. A lot of people in this moment would have just said, you know what, I'm going to throw in the towel. I tried to preach. God, you told me that I was supposed to preach. And so I showed up and I started preaching. And now it just seems like nothing is going my way. Nothing's working out. Nobody wants me to preach. Maybe I misheard God. But not John Wesley. He showed up. And I love this. Sunday, May 26, a.m. Preached in a meadow. 10,000 people showed up to hear me preach. See, here's the thing is, that because John Wesley wasn't willing to quit in the middle, thousands of people came to Jesus. See, and what we don't really understand most of the time is that there are miracles connected to our miracle, or our middle. There are miracles that are connected to the other side of our middle. And when we begin to say, you know what, I know that I'm struggling and I know that I'm having difficulty and I know that I'm going through some hardship and some troubled times, can I tell you that there is a miracle that's on the other side of your middle? Whenever I'm struggling in the middle and whenever I'm having difficulty in the middle and whenever adversity is coming against me, I begin to remind myself of times when I was struggling in the middle and I made it to the other side and I saw miracle after miracle after miracle happen. I saw marriages healed. I saw all kinds of things restored. Here's the thing, that in the middle, on the other side of your middle, there are people needing a miracle. And it's so much bigger than us, church. Because if you quit in the middle, somebody might not hear about Jesus. If you throw in the towel now, somebody might not be set free. If you quit, somebody might not get their miracle. The disciples are struggling in the middle, and because they didn't quit in the middle, they got Jesus to the other side, and on the other side they saw miracle after miracle after miracle. And I think there's some people in here today that are struggling in the middle. You have difficulty in the middle. Nobody else might know about it, but you're struggling in the middle. It might just be one person. And if I just came for one person, then I'll tell you this. You need to understand. Some of you need to go home and you need to remind yourself of why you started in the first place. You need to remind yourself of why you said I do. You need to remind yourself of why you started that job. You need to remind yourself of why you went back to school. You need to remind yourself. Some of you are in the middle, struggling, having difficulty. And you need to get plugged into a life group. You need to find somebody in here and say, you know what, I'm struggling. You need to go to Pastor Andrew and say, you know what, I'm having difficulty. Because you bought into a lie that you got to go through this alone, but I'm here to tell you that you don't need to go through the middle alone. Some of you need to remind yourself and remember that God does His best work in the middle of whatever you're struggling with. And every one of you need to know this. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. Don't you stop fighting. Don't you throw in the towel in the middle. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And Lord, right now I pray for every person in this place struggling in the middle. Lord, it might not even be a situation that I mentioned. But God, you see the struggle. You see their difficulty. You see the problem. And Lord, I pray right now, the Bible says this, that the joy of the Lord is their strength. And I pray that you would strengthen them. God, that there's some people in here that felt like throwing in the towel. There's some people that felt like quitting. But Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that they would have a resolve on the inside of them that says, no, I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm not going to quit in the middle. Lord, I thank you for it. Lord, I just tell you right now, there's somebody that you said, I'm going to quit, I'm done, I'm finished, I'm throwing in the towel. But I just feel like this, that your dream is too big and too important to quit on. Your dream is too big and too important to quit on. Don't quit. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you stop. With every head bowed, every eye closed, maybe you're in this place, you say, Brian, I don't know Jesus. Can I tell you the most important thing that the disciples had happen is Jesus got in their boat. And the same goes for you. You're struggling in the middle. You've tried to do it on your own. You said, I'm going to make it on my own. But can I tell you that when Jesus gets in your boat, all of a sudden, things begin to change in your life. All of a sudden, you begin to have hope. You begin to have a future. Maybe you're in this place. You say, Brian, I don't know Jesus. Never made Him the Lord of my life. But today, this morning, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Maybe you're here in this place and you say, Brian, I prayed that prayer, but I'm certainly not living like it. I've walked away from my relationship with Jesus. Today, I want to rededicate my life to Him. I just want to come back to Him. Say, God, I resurrender my life to You. Can I tell you, friend, He's not mad at you. He loves you. The thing about Christianity is it's not religion, it's a relationship. It's with a God who loves you, who cares about you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to call you forward, but I am going to ask you to do something. On the count of three, I want you just to lift your hand up and then slip it right back down. We're going to pray a prayer together as a church family. And I believe this, when you pray this prayer, if you believe it in your heart, your life will never be the same. You say, Brian, that's me. I need Jesus in my life for the first time. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. On the count of three, just slip your hand up, right back down. One. Come on, no one's looking around. Two. Three. Just slip your hand up, right back down. Amen. 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 Hands everywhere. Amen. Now then, boldly, all together as a church family, can we support these people that raise their hands and say this, Lord Jesus. Come on, pray it with me, church. Lord Jesus, forgive me my sin. Take my sin, and by your grace, I take your righteousness. I make you the Lord of my life. I give you all that I am. I hold nothing back. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.